Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. 1 week from today, you're doing great. My Netflix special airs February 4th. Big, big day. How are we going to celebrate? What are you going to do? What friends are you going to tell? What accounts are you going to steal? How are you going to get your mom to watch it? These are all the questions that you have to ask yourself. I've already done the work. Bum, 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 bum.
We can't steal theme music, so hopefully that doesn't raise any flags. Is that an official thing?
We always talk about controversy, that our show could really do with some good controversy or a nice feud.
That's right.
To gin up some press, but I don't think that's going to do it. But yeah, it's a huge thing. The special is finally coming out. I've posted the first clip, as you saw, on Instagram and Facebook.
Nice.
And then the other clips will get closer to the date. But this is it. Huge day here at the compound.
That's right.
Not only that, not only is that gone, but what do you see right here, Paul, on the desk?
I see space.
Space. Nothingness.
Ooh.
You know why?
Why?
That is where my new book was.
Oh.
That was the final edit of You're Doing Great and Other Reasons to Stay Alive, which is my book that can be pre-ordered right now on Amazon already. I shipped it out today, just this morning, went to UPS. All my final little pencil-marked edits in the 300-page book has been sent to New York to our good friends at St. Martin Press, and that is it. It is off the desk.
Congratulations.
The special is gone. The book is gone. What am I going to do with my free time?
Well, you can start working out.
I just got off the bike. I just got off the Peloton. Can't
you
see?
Are you still doing?
45 minutes. I reached my 98th workout. I have a 27-week streak going.
Oh, yeah?
Where I haven't missed in 27 weeks.
That's pretty good.
Isn't that good? I mean, a couple of those weeks I just did it once, but I'm about to hit 100. You know, they have these little mile markers, these little achievement badges that they put on. I'm telling you, it's pretty motivating. They do get you. It's like, you know, it's like having a trainer you don't want to let down.
Yeah.
I am like, all right, I'm going to get to 100, and I'm almost there. I've got a couple more left, and I have a 27 streak going. I got that dialed in. I think what we have to do is come up with some new hobby. Oh, another announcement.
Uh-oh.
Jeez, we are just slamming. I'm going to go on Rogan on Tuesday.
Joe Rogan, to people who don't have the internet.
And I'm going to the day of the special.
Which is a big deal, because that's he's got a million people or more, which is as good as any
TV show. More than any television show. And he's a great guy, and it's going to be a great time. But I'm working hard to... People have been asking about the bread videos. When are you going to give us the recipe for your bread? When are you going to show us how you make the bread? Why don't you give us your recipe or your starter or show how you do it? And it's taken a long time, but Paul and I are filming bread videos. They're going to be up on the YouTube channel. It's called Getting Baked with Tom. And Paul and I will be eating and making bread. Huge new series. It's going to break the internet. It's going to swarm YouTube. We are going to be YouTubers.
Yep, and it'll blow your mind. Tom forced me to try certain foods maybe that I would never try.
Paul is the taster, as everyone knows. Paul has never eaten an egg before. Paul has never eaten a lot of things. And he grew up in a tiny little place in upstate New York, and his poor mother could only feed him plain pasta and white bread. And we've been trying to expand his horizons, and if you're doing a show on bread and baking, you might as well have someone that can taste it and explore. And I don't want to give it away, But we put some strange things in front of Paul already. Already.
There was one thing that we've tried that took me 3 days to shake out of my system. So if that's a good teaser for it.
Yeah, we've got to go into some new territories. The gentleman's breakfast is coming up. Lots of stuff. But this is all happening next week. So you can order the book. You can watch the special. You can get the YouTube videos for free. And then we're going out on tour and running all around the country.
Yeah.
And go to TomPapa.com for those dates. And Paul Morrissey has a website.com to get Paul's dates when we're not cruising around together. But this week also is about the Super Bowl. And are you going to be in town for the Super Bowl?
I am not, Tom. I will be working.
What?
Yes. So,
where are you working?
I'll be in Long Beach, California.
Oh, boy.
Which isn't that far, but...
That's nearby. On Super Bowl night?
Yeah.
Wow. Must be a good-paying gig.
Yeah, I'll be gone. I'll be doing that. It's a couple-day thing. Because the Super Bowl's in Miami, right?
Miami.
Which my brother lives there. And he said it's crazy now.
It's got to be,
craziness. Because
That's big time.
And it's been... Remember, I almost thought the Super Bowl was in Miami every year because it seemed like you had to play it somewhere where the weather was nice. So, like, mm-hmm. a bunch of the
most
famous
of the
ones. Yeah, it was... The Joe Namath one was in Miami.
Giants' first one was in Pasadena.
Yeah. And then... But I think one of theirs, like, it's funny. They always talk about... Because there's all kinds of strip clubs and stuff, so and nightlife.
Yeah.
So somebody always gets in trouble the night before the game, which you wouldn't think that anything would keep you from concentrating on the game, but I guess people get wrapped up into the craziness, you know?
It always comes out after the Super Bowl when some team gets trampled.
Mm-hmm.
You learn that they were out partying and so-and-so shot somebody. And
yeah.
It's like if you could learn all that inside scoop the week of, you could gamble the right way on it.
And that's
they're young guys. It's the Super Bowl. It's their lifelong
thing. The biggest week of their life, you know.
And some people think that just getting there is it, and they're just celebrating and going to the party. And then other people dial it in and go to work old school, and they end up winning it.
And you got 2 weeks to, like, kind of goof around and talk about it, and people... You know, think you're a big deal and you get money thrown at you.
Yeah, ticket requests, your family's lining up, prostitutes are showing up in your driveway, big bags of cocaine being airlifted into your backyard swimming pool. There's a lot going on when you get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so that's when it finally goes to Vegas, it's going to be big trouble.
Yeah,
it's going to be like
God.
The craziest week ever.
Yeah,
and it's going to happen soon.
Absolutely. Next year that stadium opens, right?
Yeah. I did a corporate gig at the M Resort, which is like a little bit south of the strip, and that was already like the official Raiders headquarters, like all the team and everything is based there. They're really like jazzed up for the team. They're excited.
It's going to be pretty huge. I mean, when hockey went there, it was huge. You know, they had that
first also
run.
Because they were so good that first year too.
Yeah. Are they good this year?
I don't know. I haven't been following it, but I know it's like, still a good ticket to get. Like it's.
I feel like we should be
busy.
More into hockey.
Yeah,
it's hard to think hockey when you're here in sunny LA, where it's sunny in 70s all week this week.
Right. That's. I was just gonna tell you that. Is it nice that winter's finally over?
I know.
It was like 50s for like a couple weeks, and then we broke through it.
We had some rain.
Again.
It was really horrible. But now it's like. Yeah, there's no more. I have to go to a meeting after this, and I was like, oh, I guess I don't wear sweaters anymore. I'm just back down to t-shirts.
I got my sweatshirt on for no reason today.
You could dress so much nicer when you're living in New York. I was in New York all last week, and it's just, everyone just looks good. Everyone can wear different layers, and you can really dress up like a grown-up. It's cool. There's style. Here, it's just like, you just sweat.
But what did you... Now, so that was a long time for you to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you miss it, or were you happy to be here?
I missed it.
Hmm.
But the beginning of the week was like 0 degrees, And I did not miss that. But then it came up over freezing, and then it was nice. Like, it was, you know, 40 degrees, and you could walk around, and then I really missed it. I do miss New York.
Right? But every day, though, like that. It's not even like, I don't mind going for a week when you can just, like, kind of doing your own thing. But when you're, like, hustling because you live there, it really does take, like, years off your life. You can feel it.
More than being in traffic here?
Yeah. I mean, I'm driving here to your place, and I'm just, you know, I have my sunroof, and I'm just like, I remember growing up, there might be a year, there might be 4 days this nice. And you would, like, go crazy.
Are you talking weather, or are you talking energy?
Well, it is the energy, because it's like fair, you know, I'm a fair weather person. I figured it out. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's sunny out,
you're happy.
It's always, and it's all those years of living in the dark weather.
It is intense. There is, yes, the lack of sunshine, I think, is a big thing. You can't deny that there's a creative energy when you're walking down the street and you're going to the clubs.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't deny that that is not something that, there's something there that feeds you as a person that's creating something and writing stuff and performing. But you're right. There's, you know, this is also January. They're still bringing down the Christmas lights. It's still like a little bit of a hangover. It's the hardest part when I lived there was going from February to April.
Yeah.
March was, every single year, March would just abuse you. It mm-hmm. just wouldn't let you off the hook. And then when you think that spring might be coming, it just got colder and it's darker and it's just icy and the lack of sun. Like, if it was sunny, if that's like Denver, right? If you go to parts of Colorado that are cold, but the sun's out all the time.
Right.
And it makes a difference. It's not seeing the sun for long periods of time, mm-hmm. and it's getting darker. It's just that
And also,
part.
Like, yeah, it used to be like, you know, because when during basketball season, I'd be excited. I could play or practice, and that's indoors anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you're just, like, in this freezing place for no reason, you're just like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, I do. Like, when I went from Colorado, I was up in Vail, Beaver Creek, had this fun show up there. Then I went to New York. Then I went to Delaware. And by the end of that, I was, like, lugging that giant coat around, stomping around in my boots. I went made a stop in Houston, mm-hmm. and it got a little warmer, and then I was really looking forward to getting back here and just ditching the coat, ditching the boots. It isn't, I'm not going to deny, it is a pleasant feeling. It's why people vacation here.
Yeah.
But a little bit of a somber note, we landed 5 minutes after the Kobe helicopter crash.
Oh, thanks.
And when we were coming in, it was like, as we were landing, it was like you couldn't see the city for the long, you know, when you come in, there's long approach to LAX, and it just, you just never saw the city until we almost got to the ground.
Yeah.
It was that thick. And as soon as we landed, someone got news on their phone. It had literally like 10 minutes earlier.
Yeah. I mean, I had a daytime show in Thousand Oaks.
Really?
So I drove past that exit.
Oh, my God.
It's that Las Virgenes.
Yeah.
Exit that goes, if you've ever been to like Pepperdine or Malibu, there's this one beautiful road that just kind of goes through the canyon, and it's all it's kind of like horseback riding and trails and
it's
stuff.
Gorgeous.
And that's apparently where I guess they were trying to go through, but it was still even foggy when I drove by. You know,
so,
that was like 2 o'clock.
Yeah, so. Brutal. I mean, that's such a beautiful ride. It's such a nice area.
And it's usually so clear, like in a day like today.
Well, you heard all the reports how he was circling around in Glendale and they were waiting to see if he was going to switch to instruments only, if he was going to try and go into the cloud cover, something. You know, they're still trying to suss out the details.
Yeah, that was the thing, is like, it was almost like they were going back.
They were trying to land.
Well, but they're going so fast. They're going like a crazy speed.
No, they were.
That's what they're trying to figure out, if it was like an engine thing or if it was pilot. Because that's the thing, is they already had to stay below like 2,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can hear him on the thing just saying, are you going to follow the 118? Are you going to follow the 101? Like, so that's I mean, you're flying by sight. That's what you don't realize with all those helicopter things. Like, with all the GPS things, if you have never flown through this canyon before and have those topography maps, you don't even know, like, how high you have to fly or anything. It's crazy. Man.
I mean, he had to have known it, though. I mean, he knew that area.
He's been doing it
since 2007.
But it is weird because, you know, that was supposed to be like a quick trip. And, you know, they come up and then they're circling the L.A. Zoo.
Yeah.
So it was almost like you thought maybe they were going to...
Well, they held them there.
Yeah.
It was a holding pattern because where he was going was too cloudy. And they even stopped the police helicopters from flying it.
Right.
So sad.
Yeah.
So sad. Oh, and that daughter was just so heartbreaking. The news came when we landed, and then all the news reports and talking about it with our family and stuff. But it really didn't hit me emotionally until the Grammys when Run DMC was holding up the jersey. Did you see that?
No.
Run DMC did a thing with Aerosmith, and as they were going through, and then halfway through, the DJ held up the jersey.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that hit me. It was just such a sweet way of memorializing it in the moment kind of thing, which they did all night. But that one, for some reason, that hit me. Such a sad thing.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm not even, like, analyzing. It's just so hard to believe that it happened. You know what I mean? That's why you're trying to make sense of it.
Yeah.
Or figure out why. Like,
well,
that's
why? You've got this beautiful helicopter and this experienced pilot.
Yeah.
Just like that,
but apparently that was, you know, because you worry about it, like, oh, was that the first time, or is? But he did that like every game he flew his helicopter because he lives down in Laguna Beach. I didn't realize he lived far south. So.
Yeah, and you know you can't do that. The traffic here is so brutal.
Mm-hmm.
He could helicopter in 15 minutes or take a 2-hour drive on the 405.
Yeah.
So if you can do it, you're lifting off and going.
I just don't know, man. I mean, I remember when Artie Lang used to take a helicopter to what was the casino in Connecticut?
Foxwoods.
Is it Foxwoods?
Mohegan Sun.
And they have a helipad on the roof,
mm-hmm.
but it was foggy there.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy was like, you know, I don't think I can land there. He's like, there's a place like, it's like a 10-minute drive, I can land like this field that we use sometimes. And like Artie's like, just try it. And I was like, and the guy was like going to listen to Artie.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man. I know.
I actually flew with Seinfeld from Foxwoods, I think.
Oh, okay.
And we were going to go to New York. And there was one time, there's a couple times going like local stuff from out in Long Island to different gigs and where he would just take the helicopter and, you know, there are these big kind of luxurious things, but it was, the whole thing was about visibility. The whole thing was about fog because you can't go up into the airspace where you're interfering with the other stuff. So you got to be low enough, but you have to be able to see where you're going.
Like power lines and everything.
Yeah, and where you're going to land and all that kind of stuff. And it was always about the fog. And there were certain times where we just had to get a car and go because there's no way they were going to fly because it was fog.
Yeah, I mean... Did you ever, and you, didn't you go to Vegas on one too with Tosh or no? Was it?
Oh, we did a gig, with Tosh. We went from Van Nuys, I think, from Van Nuys to someplace like near Palm Springs.
Oh, okay.
And that wasn't a luxurious one. That was like just a small stuff in, you're kind of cramped in there with headsets on. You know, that was like, I didn't enjoy that so much.
Yeah.
Noisy.
Right.
It's like, I'd much rather be in a car. This is kind of silly. It didn't even save that much time.
Well, that's what I mean is, like, when it comes down to it, like, I remember, like, the only time I ever flew on one was in Iraq. We flew on the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it was like, you got to show up. They have a thing called Showtime where you got to be there, like, an hour before because they're doing all the safety checks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and it's just like... I gotta believe, you know, unless you're cutting corners, it's gotta take just as long.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you just start it up and go. Like, you gotta...
Crazy.
You got a lot of safety things to mark off. You know?
I want to talk to Bill about it, because, you know, Bill Burr's got his helicopter license.
Right.
And he's always telling me about it. He's always, you know, because he's in it, and he just passed another test, and he's really involved in all of the science behind it, and... how you make it work, and now he's got it. The actual next step for him is instruments only, that part of the test.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that weird thing, like with JFK, when JFK Jr. died in that plane crash.
Yeah.
It's like you get into, unless you can trust your instruments, when you're in that fog or in that bad weather, you literally could be upside down and not realize it.
Right.
You literally have no idea unless you're trained to look at the instruments and just trust that that's so scary. Well, this is why.
Yeah. I mean, I think I told you when I first started, when I was working in news, like this is like late 90s, there was like, I was in Phoenix and there was a guy who, the guy who flew the news helicopter was a guy who was a pilot in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So he like had seen everything.
Yeah.
And the news anchor guy was like, I trust this guy with my life. He could land this on a dime. You know what I mean? And so, but then like a few years later, like two of the news helicopters ran into each other. Remember, I always was like showing you, like whenever I see something, and like every time I check Hawaii, there's some helicopter.
Well, you're not wrong. There was, you know, we always say like you're crazy for even considering it. And we did go with the kids. We got like one of the nice ones and did the tour of Kauai. And it was a little dodgy at times. Like you're going into these like little canyons and you're really trusting that this guy knows what he's doing. It is kind of a little scary at times.
Yeah.
But since we were there, which was last summer, I guess, there were two accidents kind of recently of those tourist helicopters in Kauai. So I think I might be done with the helicopters.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
I think it might be like, why would you do it?
Well, that's the whole thing. It's kind of like, well, I said this yesterday. I was like, it's kind of like motorcycles and helicopters, there's no minor accidents. So,
right, yeah, you very
seldom. So if you're doing those two things, either you really love doing it or it's like, you know.
You very seldom survive that. I'm going to see. What do you think there are more helicopter crashes or plane crashes?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, to speak of what just happened, you know, the probably the other biggest athlete, you know, tragedy like that is Thurman Munson, right? When he flew his own plane, like that was late 70s or was that 80 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And he was the captain of the Yankees, you know, World Series champion, and he would fly back to Ohio to see his family whenever he could, and he flew the plane himself and he died in the accident. Yeah. And then 2006, the Corey Lytle, the pitcher for the Yankees, was on a plane with a flight instructor and crashed into that building in Manhattan, which was insane. Yeah.
What is safer, a plane or a helicopter? That means helicopters crash about 35% more often per hour in the air than your average aircraft. Helicopter crashes, however, are less likely to kill you. The fatality rate in helicopter crashes is 1.3 deaths per 100,000 flight hours versus 1.4 deaths for aircrafts. That's a very minimal difference.
Less people, I would think.
Yeah, but more crash, 35% more crashes in helicopters.
Oh, wow.
That's a weird, you know, but the problem is, I mean, in this guy, that's all he did. But you hear like all these other ones that you're just talking about. It's like, it's weird to have that dangerous of a hobby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a high risk.
It's really got to be like a thing that you love doing.
That's all you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to be all in on that.
Which it does kind of seem like Bill is that way about it now anyway. Whether he's like a guy who's going to, you know, rethink it now or not, you never know.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure he doesn't even want to talk about it.
But the crazy thing is, like, even Kobe, supposedly, they even, one of their rules was that he and his wife wouldn't fly in the helicopter together just in case something like this happened. So if you're literally, like, planning for it, then you have some idea that something could happen, but.
Yeah, you know, it's like riding a motorcycle, you know? It's like, you do know that there's a risk. You know, and more of a risk than being in a car with your bags. But, you know, the odds are pretty good that if you are trained and cautious that you'll be okay. But, you know, you just never know. But, man, what a life. 41 years. That was a big, big life.
Yeah, yeah. He touched a lot of people. And
no, it's too bad that this was going to be the part with his kids and his family and all that part of it.
Yeah, but you can't change, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, he was doing this for, you know, the last 15 or 20 years, so you can't, like, second guess whether, you know, I'm sure it's not anything that he did that was different that day. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, you never know. Crazy.
Well,
but you can tell that LA is definitely in a... in a down mood, man. You could tell it sucked the life out of a lot of
stuff. It's a weird thing. It's like, I hate to say it, but it was one of the only times that it felt like, in New York, like, you walk around just during, like, a preseason game, and you hear it in the cab, and you hear the game coming off of radios walking down the street, and doormen are talking about it. And here, it always seems a little isolating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when a team is in the playoffs, it doesn't have, because it's a sprawling suburb, really, you don't have that kind of united feeling that you have in Chicago when the Blackhawks are winning, or
yeah.
that, or Cleveland. But this thing, really, because he affected so many people for so many years, you just heard it everywhere. You're still hearing it at the grocery store, at the airport, at the everywhere you go.
Yeah.
It was, it seemed for me like this was the most I've heard LA speaking with one voice.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's kind of like when Robin Williams died, like, we all knew he was a big presence in the comedy community, but then when you saw, like, how far he reached, you know, you just never realized how famous he was. And that's the same thing with Kobe. It's like, you know, you can root against the Lakers, but when you realize that, you know, kids in Italy are growing up because he, you know, he played in Italy, you know, when he was a kid, or his dad did, or there's just all these, you know, China, there's kids growing up with Kobe jerseys. You just don't realize.
It's a terrible tragedy, but not, I'd hate to use this segue, but another tragedy just walked up my street. A white guy, older than me, no shirt on, in his running outfit, walking up the hill. Why do men who aren't beautiful take their shirts off? I don't. You just get to a point where they're like, "I'm getting sun on me." They don't care. Right? You know what? Like, that's fine at a beach. That's fine at a pool. You're walking up the middle of the street.
I don't think it is fine. I mean,
at a pool.
Well, the pool, yeah. I started last night, was the return of Yoga Paul.
Oh, yeah? Yoga Paul's back, 2020? Under the wire.
It's pretty good.
In January.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And so that's another one where I always feel
the best
a little...
thing you can do.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yoga's great, but even the, like, you know, you can wear, like, a light tank top or something, and there's always these guys that... are like
taking it off,
have no shirt on. They're just like, there's like a puddle of sweat all over.
Ugh.
And it's just like disgusting.
Put your shirt on.
And
what are you doing? Why are you taking your shirt off?
Yeah, it just feels like offensive, you
so
know?
Gross. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. I have a great movie for you.
Okay.
I know we're all caught up in this Oscar stuff, and everybody's talking about all the big movies, and I finally saw The Joker, and I'm pretty much up to date. The only thing, I haven't seen Sandler's, and I know he didn't get the nomination.
You did see Parasite?
I saw Parasite.
Yeah, okay, I didn't see it yet.
And I saw, yeah, I've seen them all, except for 1917. But... there is a movie that a director friend of mine recommended, the great Steven Soderbergh. He said it was the best movie of the year. And it's called Give Me Liberty. Give Me Liberty. You can see it on Amazon. It's really great.
Yeah?
It's great. I don't want to tell you too much about it because you really have to go into it.
Yeah, I like
I went
just
in not knowing
it.
Anything.
Yeah, okay.
But he uses... Steven says pretty much that he doesn't know how they made it. Like, you know, and He knows how you make stuff.
Right.
And he's like, I don't know how he even pulled it off at certain
points. Oh, okay.
It's really thoughtful, heartwarming film, and you should just check it out. Everyone should see Give Me Liberty.
Okay.
It's so good. And
yeah, that's what we should find, happy stuff, good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, did you see the new Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Have not, but I interviewed J.B. Smoove for my radio show.
Okay. And that's, I was looking that up because the first, I saw the first episode. I think the last one came last night. I didn't see it yet, but, or the second one. But, you know, 2001, I think, was the first season.
Oh, my God.
20 years later, it's still the best comedy on TV.
Really?
It's great.
Wow.
It was funny. Amazing. All these amazing, you know, Ted Danson still in it, JB.
Jeez.
All these guys, and just so great. And, that you know, the one funny thing was, like, you know, he's still attacking some pretty, you know, it's not easy.
Yeah, to come up with new stuff to be angry about.
Well, but
or
I mean,
to offend about.
But it's like, you know, the whole Me Too thing and all that kind of stuff. It's not shying away from any of that stuff.
Oh,
and it's
cool.
Not, you know, divisive. You know, they're making fun of, like, when Garland grows his scruff out, they're just making fun of the fact that he looks like Harvey Weinstein. Which, of course, to bring it up is tough anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But then to make it funny is just like...
That's great. Yeah. Wow, I can't wait to see it. I know. I feel bad I wasn't...
71?
Out of the loop. Larry David is? He looks great.
I know.
He has a horrible back problem.
He looks exactly the same as he has for... whatever, 25 years?
Amazing. He really, I know. He's very impressive that way. He carries, as someone who doesn't have a lot of hair and isn't growing more, it's going the other way. He may be the most elegant bald man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
he dresses cool. He has a cool style. Those jackets and the cool sneaks.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like childish sneakers.
On
like it
him,
seems
no.
like grown up and elegant in a way. And he's got the glasses and his bald head and the little hair in the back, and he just kills it. He just owns it and is confident, and I am inspired by I'm more inspired by him than I am John Legend.
Oh. And actually, you'll enjoy it even more because there is a Peloton thread in the show.
Oh, that's
it's a very
hilarious.
Important aspect of
oh,
it.
Oh, that's good.
So it's so timely, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just like,
I know. That's what, you know, look, that's what the only other group I think that can be in the same category is the South Park guys.
Right.
Like, they've been around for 25 years probably, and... all of a sudden, like 2 years ago, they became like the most relevant show again.
Yeah.
And we're just killing it with, I think it's, maybe it's a sign of the times, because they too were attacking the politically correct stuff and the Me Too stuff. And what were they, what were the babies? The political correct?
Well, they had the PC principle.
PC principles and PC babies and all that.
So he's
that.
Like this bro guy that's like yelling at people to not
integrity,
make fun of anyone.
Integrity with the
farms,
growing weed on the farms. And they just became so relevant. Maybe the times kind of helped feed into it. Like all of a sudden there was such craziness going on in the culture. But whatever it is, they're also, all of them, so brilliant that they all just... I mean, to go 20 years later and, and be took, so on point again.
And took, what, 4 years off or 5 years off? Had to be at least?
For Curb, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of the more impressive thing about South Park is they never stopped.
Yeah.
Never stopped.
That's nuts.
I mean, how many episodes do you think there are of South Park?
I mean,
I'm gonna look it up.
If there is 20, I mean... The great thing also is that they didn't churn them out. You know what I mean? Like, you know that Family Guy, like Seth MacFarlane hasn't even been involved in that show in 10 years probably, right? Like, because it just runs on its own and they have a episode to deliver every week and they're working on four other ones. But South Park apparently is still just, I don't know, is it Matt or Trey? One of the blonde guy... writes everything.
Right. I know. There's that one.
And so they just leave him alone for like a couple hours, and then the other people come back and try to like add some jokes or do the voices, but it's basically like him.
That's a good documentary to watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was something air, 24 hours to air, something like that.
Yeah.
It was just about how close the deadline is that they still do it, you know, because they have to like send it to China or whatever to get it animated. And it takes like the minimum amount of time is like, I don't know, 48 hours or something like that. So they literally like just do it at the wire and like deliver it to Comedy Central right before they need it.
The coolest. 307 episodes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
307. That's a lot of episodes. All right.
And
now this one isn't, they're no longer.
And Book of Mormon too.
Yeah. No, and movies. Now these are not. The Simpsons.
It's 30 years, right?
Not as culturally relevant anymore, I would say. I think that's fair. You know, one of the greatest shows of all time, some of the best writing of all time. But not as, they don't seem to come back with the relevancy that Curb or South,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not like, oh man, out of nowhere, this season is killer.
Right.
How many episodes do you think there are of?
But you notice the trend here, right? Is the longevity equals animation. That's the big key. The characters don't grow old.
They don't get old. You can do whatever you want. The storytelling is, yeah. You want to guess how many Simpsons?
It's got to be, what? That was, in the 80s, there was like long seasons too. There's got to be 500?
673.
Holy cow. That's amazing.
673 scripts.
And if you wrote that pilot, you get paid for every one of them, right?
Holy cow.
If you created that.
Man, oh man. That is crazy time. Crazy.
Yeah, that's got to be the best gig ever, is being a voice on The Simpsons, right?
Yeah. Fortune just did a guest on it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's awesome.
I know. How great is that?
Yeah, that's the gig, to do a voice on like Family Guy or
sweet
Bob's Burgers even.
Bob's Burgers amazing.
How many years has that been going?
That's another well-written show too, by the way.
Yeah. Those are all 10 or 15 years. They're not young shows.
Like, no, I know.
That's like a career for most people, is just doing that show.
Pretty great. Pretty great little side gig.
Yeah.
Why don't they put us on Bob's Burgers? We're funny.
We could do it.
We're comedians.
Eventually.
Bastards.
You got to get my voiceover reel together.
Yeah, you got to get it all going. All right. Well, this was a lot of fun. Next week, I think we're going to run the live Come to Pop on Thursday.
Okay.
That we just recorded in New York, which was really fun, with Morgan James and Dave Hill and some good stuff. We'll run that one on Thursday, and then maybe on Monday we'll do the big You're Doing Great comedy unveiling special broadcast.
And then we're going to, one of the videos going to go up?
The videos will be up on, I'm hoping Monday.
Okay.
I'm hoping Monday.
When do you do Rogan?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay.
When the special comes out.
All right, cool.
So yeah, you and I have got to put on our makeup, and we have some more videos to crank out.
Yeah,
yeah. Apparently, the earlier ones we have to fix up some of those. We have a lot to do here at the compound. We can't just be lollygagging. We've got to be inspired by the Bert Kreischers of the world and start creating more content for our friends. But now that the book is gone, oof! What a treat.
Yeah.
Go to Amazon and pre-order the book. I can actually start saying that now. That's so
cool.
Exciting. I know. Really cool. So you're not going to be here for Super Bowl. So that means that any discussions about buffalo wings or mac and cheese or any of these things mean nothing to you, because
That's
you'll be
right.
telling jokes to jackasses in Long Beach.
Well, is your party going to get, because all the kids are older now, are they going to be drunk or what happens?
I'm sure. Well, there's going to be, we go back and forth between us and our friends Hans and Sarah, so we're going to go over to their house this year.
Right.
So, which is a little lower pressure for us. It's a little more pressure because you don't get to control the TV. Yeah. No one in the family cares about football.
Yeah, they're Canadians.
Yeah.
So they don't really.
Sarah's Canadian. It's just the whole time it's just like, well, this is stupid. And you're trying to watch the game. So that's a little pressure, but they also are good hosts. So we've really got to dial in who's
getting the
chicken.
What about the video? The kids are still making another video.
That's the thing. The girls have no interest in football. I'm the only one that really cares. And even Hans like pretends to care, but he doesn't really. And the girls are not interested. So they always make a video during the Super Bowl. They shoot their own video, and which is always funny. And then we watch it at the end. And because my daughter will be going to school next year, she probably won't be around for the Super Bowl. This might be the last one that they make as a group.
Ah.
I know. So it's kind of a big momentous one.
And they might miss a very important commercial during the Super Bowl that might involve...
Well, I don't want to...
Something.
I don't want to... But Netflix may or may not run a You're Doing Great Super Bowl ad. I don't want to speak at a turn. I can't say too much. But I'm hearing that that might be a thing.
But if you're watching the Super Bowl...
Keep your eyes and ears open.
That's right.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your life.